our souls today, that the words that I speak would be empowered by your Spirit to be a word for each of us in some form or fashion. But I pray you speak to our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. This may be a series. I'm thinking it is because I've been sort of stewing on this for about a year now. And this would be the first salvo in those thoughts, so we'll see. One of the most important words in the Bible and in our world is the word soul. We throw it around a lot, kind of like we throw around the word love a lot. So let me ask you a question, and this is a serious question. How would you define and describe soul, or for that matter, your soul? Belief in the soul is everywhere. Most people believe that we have a soul, but what is it? We know it matters, but we suspect that it's pretty important, but we're just not sure what it means. So this morning, we're going to do a little soul searching. Now, most of us who go to church believe in it, but if I asked you to explain it, could you explain it to me? In the movie Roger Rabbit, the bad cartoon characters, if made to laugh, they die. They die laughing, and their souls float away.
This singing ain't my line. It's tough to make a rhyme. If I get stuck, I'm out of luck.
I'm running out of time.
Thanks.
Laughing. Now, this is funny to us. It's non-threatening, but in the movie Ghost, which has been on TV recently, and I don't know whether it's my mind is running in the lines of other people, but when Willie dies in the movie Ghost, his soul or ghost is carried away to the darkness of hell by demons. End of the movie, Patrick Swayze is carried away by creatures of light to heaven. One reference to the afterlife and souls is funny in cartoons like the one with Roger Rabbit, but not so funny in movies with a dark side to them. In our society today, especially in the scientific community, there is no room for an afterlife or soul. Owen Flanagan says there is no place in science for the notion of a soul when he said desouling is the primary operation of the scientific image. People may claim to believe that all we are is our bodies, But I think we know that our bodies grow up, they grow old, and finally fail us. But you know what? It's just not me. I'm more than my body, and so are you. We have souls. We use the word soul when we talk about people and things. African Americans have been equated and described with soul food and soul power and soul brothers, etc., etc., which some of which reflect the persecution because of skin color. Lou Gehrig was described as the soul of the New York Yankees. Tom Brady described Wes Welker as the soul of the New England Patriots, but I think that that position really belongs to Bill Belichick. Elvis Presley may be the king of rock and roll, but James Brown is called the king of soul. I wish I could make it louder, but I can't. Anyway, stop it, Jim. We speak of the soul as a source of strength, and yet we speak of it as being very fragile. Something about the soul always seems to be at risk. A soul is something that can be lost or sold. The selling of a soul has been made into countless movies and stories and TV shows, and I have a cut from the movie Bedazzled, where Elizabeth Hurley plays the devil to Brendan Fraser and is buying his, or negotiating for his soul.
I, Elliot Richards, hereafter known as the Damned. The Damned?
How about the Damned? Sound better?
Don't get hung up on the language, darling. There's nothing sinister here. It's all standard boilerplate. Paragraph 1 states that I, the devil, a not-for-profit corporation with offices in Purgatory Hell in Los Angeles, will give you 7 wishes to use as you see fit.
7? Why not 8?
Why not 6? I don't know. 7 just sounds right. Paragraph 2 outlines the manner in which you'll pay for the aforementioned wishes.
What? Are you kidding? I have to give you my soul?
After you've had your wishes, of course.
But it's my soul! I can't give you my soul!
What are you, James Brown? What's the big deal? Have you ever seen your soul? Do you even know what it is?
Well, of course. It's the thing that. No, that's... It floats around.
Can I tell you something? Souls are overrated.
It's everywhere. In the Harry Potter movies, Harry's soul is connected to Voldemort's soul. It's everywhere. In spite of the fact that science really wants to squash the idea of a soul. By the way, does a fetus have a soul? You know, the whole debate about abortion really rages around that particular question. Does life and therefore a soul happen at conception or not? Science tells us in no uncertain terms that nothing and no one has a soul. Therefore, killing a person in the womb, or for that matter, killing a person who is old, is no big deal. In fact, if you follow that logic to its gory conclusion, killing anyone is no big deal. Because all you're doing is killing a body. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus contradicts that. Read with me Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Here we go. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. But the word soul won't go away, because it speaks somehow of eternity, which says there is more to this world than what meets the eye and what science defines as reality. In the movie The Sixth Sense, it tells about a boy with a gift of seeing dead people. Gotta give me the cut. There.
I want to tell you my secret now. I
In your dreams? While you're awake? Dead people like in graves and coffins?
Walking around like regular people. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead.
How often do you see them?
All the time. They're everywhere.
Yes, next weekend, Blake Healy's going to be here, and he proclaims that he sees on the spiritual realm. Well, I'm not sure that our science community would say yes to that, but we'll see. You know, we say that the eyes are like the windows to the soul. Sometimes this seems to be the case with people. When we talk about love, we speak of the soul. Soulmates are what we're looking for in marriage. Tom Cruise's character in the Jerry Maguire, when he says to Renee Zellweger, "You complete me." Churches like us, we're supposed to know about souls. We have sung a couple of songs today that speak of our souls. I don't know if you were paying attention to what you were singing. Our relationship with God and our souls. Over the years, we talk about winning souls for Christ and lost souls. And the universal distress signal is SOS, which stands for Save Our Souls. We each have an outer life and an inner life. My outer life is the public, visible me. It has to do with my accomplishments, my work, my reputation, my stuff, my real estate, my money, etc., etc. I know this. I am the same guy, though, who spoke to seven people at a small church in Whitesburg, Tennessee, one Sunday morning. But I'm also the same guy who spoke to hundreds of people at the funeral of a U.S. senator in Tennessee. Same guy, same soul. My outer world over the years has gotten larger and busier and more complex, but the same guy who talked to seven people about their souls in Tennessee is standing up here right now. My inner world, the soul of Jack Pitzer, is still the same. My inner world is where my secret thoughts and hopes take place. My wishes live there. If it's where I have worries or anxiety or depression as well. Now, since my inner world is invisible, it's easy to neglect. No one has direct access to it. So it doesn't win any applause. At times, my private self has been very chaotic and basically not cared for. That's why one of my Velcro sayings has always been, the greatest thing God will ever do through you is what he works in you first. That's why it's eternally significant to pay attention to the care of your soul. You know, my job has been described as a job involved in saving souls, but what does that really mean? What exactly is a soul? I mean, kind of like Brenda Fraser. Well, no, that's not it. Or is it just a word that religious people throw around? So let me kind of filter down a lot of our jargon and talk to the essence of, or soul, of who you are and who I am. Question, this is, why are you, you? I'm going to think about it. Why are you, you? Why does God put such value and mystery to your life? Part of the reason you are you is because of this tiny, fragile, vulnerable, precious thing about you called your soul, whatever that is. And you are not just a self, you are a soul. Read with me Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are a soul made by God, made for God, and made to need God, which means you're not made to be self-sufficient. The soul is your life center, you might say. We know that if you are sick, there's something wrong with your body. Either it's a disease or it's a condition. The same is actually true of your soul. If your soul is healthy, I don't care. No external circumstance can destroy your life. If your soul is unhealthy, no external circumstance, no matter how good it might be, perceived to be, can fix or redeem your life. In fact, if your soul is sick, it can make you physically and mentally ill in a lot of ways. Read with me Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered right. Do this, and you will live." We're told what we must do to inherit eternal life in that. It's how we love God. Four things involved in that. Our heart is very much our will in this life. The will is the drive within us, but it can be severely limited at times. Do you ever find yourself doing something against your better judgment and values? I won't ask for hands. You know, the heart is good at making commitments, like marriage and holding down a job or working in some kind of mission field, but it's very poor sometimes at overcoming bad habits or bad attitudes. The mind, that's where thoughts and feelings are flowing all the time. It's what we think and we feel, and some are good and some are bad, but these are the ways that we drive in traffic in our lives, the mind. The body is our little kingdom where, well, we sort of have a chance to be in charge. But it can feel great or it can feel sick. It can be young or old or middle-aged. It can be in great shape or it can be in terrible shape. The body affects how we think and feel, and sometimes even our commitments to large values like job and marriage and such. But our bodies are not the whole story, contrary to what science tells us. I am not just the stuff of my body or its age. The soul is the operating system behind your mind, heart, and body. The soul helps to integrate all the parts into a single whole life, which is you. You. Your soul is the deepest part of you. That's why the word soul in most cases actually is the word that means you. Your soul is what brings your intentions, your thoughts and feelings, your values and conscience, your body language and actions all together. A soul is healthy if you're connected with God and with other people. But there are so many souls in this world that suffer from disintegration. Let me describe this disintegration to you. Some people are so busy with this world, they forget about the inner world of their soul. And Jesus, one time, he spoke about people that get so busy in this world that they destroy themselves. Read with me Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Here we go. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, if you read these verses, we have a tendency to look at them in the long run. It won't do you any good to acquire a lot of money, have a lot of sex, or have a lot of sensual pleasures if you end up just going to hell. That's the way we read this. That's how we interpret these words. But you know what? Jesus is not talking about a destination here. He is actually giving a diagnosis for a condition. If we think of hell as a place of torture and heaven as a pleasure factory, we're going to miss the point here. If the soul is disconnected from God and living at odds with the way God made life to be lived and essentially ruined and itself, then it suffers from disintegration. Then getting the whole world will not give you any satisfaction if you're a total wreck on the inside, let alone meaning or goodness in life. To lose my soul means I no longer have a healthy center that organizes and guides my life. I'm kind of like a car without a steering wheel or a speedboat without a rudder. It doesn't matter how fast I get going, I'm a crash waiting to happen. You don't have to believe the Bible to believe this either. All you have to do is look around. It happens all the time with people. Dare I say, some of us are sitting here and it's happened to us. From pastor to businessman to a teenager seeking identity and purpose to a mom struggling to create a perfect home, they can all lose their way if their soul is disconnected from God and the center where the soul resides has lost its way and or never found its way in the first place. What does it profit someone to have the best church or be the big man on campus or pile up a lot of money or have that good housekeeping award if they lose their soul in the final outcome? What does it matter? Now, I don't mean to be unkind here. Only God knows what battles each of us have fought or are fighting right now, which include addictions and health problems and abuse maybe, or temptations, or environment, or family issues, or marriage problems, or business problems, or job problems, or everything else that we can even think of up here. The point is that what Jesus said is true. Gaining the whole world doesn't help you if your inside world just falls apart. We live on a planet with lost souls, lots of them. That's the human problem. That may be your problem. Your inside world is soul-centered. Now, this is not superficial like religion can be superficial. This is not about going to church or doing a religious thing so you can get the right afterlife if you affirm all the right doctrines. It has to do with the depth of the human condition. And when I'm talking about the depth of the human condition, I'm talking about your condition or my condition, which Jesus identifies as nobody else ever has. Our world, with all its thinking and propaganda, has replaced the word soul with the word self. But they're not the same thing. The more we focus on ourselves, the more we neglect our souls. The word psychologist comes from the Greek word for soul, which is psyche. So originally, psychology was the study of the soul and the treatment of the soul when it was sick. But what has happened is that psychology has thrown out God and has focused on the self. But the self is radically different from the soul. To focus on my soul means to look at my life under the care and the connection that I have with God. To focus on myself without God means losing awareness of the internal nature of who I am. Why are you you? Mental health in our society has lost its way. Mental health is not soul health. We've replaced church and faith and community with a tiny little thing called self. And we take selfies, don't we? We're all about the self. We revolve our lives around ourself. Strange as it may seem, the more obsessed we are with ourself, the more we neglect our souls. All of our language reflects this. If you're empty, you need to fulfill yourself. If you're stressed, learn how to take care of yourself. If you're on a job interview, you have to believe in yourself. If you're at a tattoo parlor or a beauty salon, you must learn to express yourself. If someone dares to criticize you, you have to love yourself. If you're not getting your way, you have to stand up for yourself. What should you do on a date? Well, you ought to be yourself. But the problem is, what if yourself is a train wreck? Self is a standalone, do-it-yourself unit. It has nothing to do with God. While the word soul and what soul is reminds us that we are not made just for ourselves, but for God and for others. I mean, when we come to church, at least some of the time, we get it right. Can you imagine singing "How Great Thou Art"? Then sings myself, my Savior God to thee. It just doesn't ring right, does it? Or "Bless the Lord, O myself." Read me Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. A Psalm of David. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Deep inside of us, we know that self is not the soul, even as we do everything that we do to take care of self and not our souls. I make it a point to get away to the ocean on a regular basis. That's Moses went to the mountains, I go to the beach. And I like to spend time alone or when Bert is with me. When I do that, though, obligations, expectations to perform, they melt away. When I am alone with God, I realize that God loves me. And it's deeper than all the expectations, the opinions, the roles, the performance stuff of my outer life, because I'm always on show. When I do this, though, it changes my body and my mind. I am loved not because of what I do, not because of who I am in terms of position or anything like that, but because of God, who God is. My soul feels worth. When I watch parents and grandparents of small children, the love I see is not because of what those children do. It's because of who they are in the eyes of their parents or grandparents. This is the way it is with God and your soul. You are only able to live in a way that really helps and loves others when your soul feels worth. I mean, if you don't feel any worth, how can you help anybody else? And yet we pay far more attention to the outside you than we do to the inside you. We pay more attention to our work and our bodies and our finances than to our souls. But the soul is what gets us going towards eternity. Attending to the soul doesn't mean we neglect the practical things like career and health, but we need to remember that the soul is the center of who we are. Why are you you? In fact, your soul can be all right when everything else in your world is falling apart. Read with me 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. Now, the word salvation there is the word that actually means healing or deliverance, and it is at the deepest level of who you are. Salvation is not just about where you go when you die. It has to do with your health, the health of you in the care of God through the presence of Jesus Christ right now. The truth is, sooner or later, your world will fall apart. That's the truth. What will matter then is the soul of who you are and how well you have cared for it. The day will come when your soul will come face to face with the Lord your God. When your soul comes face to face with the Lord your God. Read with me one more time, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. The Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. O my soul. Let's pray. Lord, help us to focus on our souls in 2018. Help us to take a look and to nourish that which is the key to who we are. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in Jesus' name.